for the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
John joins us. What's up, John?
Hey, Mike. Just want to tell you, I've listened to a lot of sports talk all over this country. I always come back to you. You're the best man. Don't listen to these papers.
Thank you.
No problem. On the Jets, specifically, Sam Darnold. I love the player. I think he could be an all-pro for a long time in this league. But I think his career could be ruined by coaching. And I'm not even talking about Todd or Jeremy Bates. I'm talking about this freaking consultant he's had since college. I was reading an article yesterday, this Mike Sarge Riley character. This guy sucks, Mike. I can't stand him. You can hear him on the radio, too. He's awful, Mike. He's awful. He sucks.
And listen, I'm not worried about anything with Sam right now. I really am not. I think Sam has got his head on very, very squarely, completely. I'm not even familiar with the guy he's talking about. I don't even know who it is.
For the Sarge salute of the day. It's time for the Sarge salute of the day. Who's gonna earn the Sarge salute of the day? It's all good, baby. So, Sarge here. It's all good, baby. Sarge.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Those are some of my favorite things that we play. I love those, Sarges. All right, so I think it's 7 tomorrow. Maybe we can play it and then just kind of put it all in perspective. We don't want to overdo it, but on July 6th, you guys were gone, and you know it's like hard to do a show because everyone's out of town. And Sarge was in here doing updates, and we have the audio, and we can play it tomorrow. I think it's worth playing tomorrow because it gives a whole perspective
sure,
on it.
How this all, the origin of everything.
So this happened entirely organically.
Yeah, that's right. And this was something that they started calling our show, and people would just call in and just say they'd end their calls with Sarge sucks, and then all of a sudden they started calling other places and other stations. As a matter of fact, real quick, and it's grown. It's become. It's blown up, and it's really developed a life of its own. I did, however, get this from one of our friends who works at somewhere else. He said, I just heard someone dedicate the song Lonesome Loser to Mike Sarge Riley on another radio station. He said, I wish there was rolling tape on it.
Oh, my God. Was this market or another market?
This market. Oh, yeah, the Lonesome Loser. he's appearing on all sorts of chat boards.
There's yes, people I've seen that.
Now, those
I
have been great.
Too.
Like when the MBTA, there was one of the lines shut down.
I believe Sarge.
There was like all of the, there's like a message board. It's like, this is all Sarge's fault. I mean, it's appearing everywhere. There is one gentleman named John from Vegas who has just been doing God's work. We will get to his call in a moment. But first, I think that we need to get through a couple. There have been a few that have gone through. Let's go ahead and get to this one, shall we? This is from, I think this was 2 days ago. And we're playing this because apparently, from what I've been told, the reaction was pretty fantastic. Let's go to the tape.
617-779-0985. What do you think this name is calling from Vegas there? Zoe, you see that? How would you say that? N-O-J.
Nodge. Another Nodger.
Or No-J.
R-J?
I don't know.
You think it's R-J?
I don't
Vegas?
Know. Who is this in Vegas?
It's Nodge. Nodge,
what's up?
Not much. Rough game yesterday. I just wanted to talk to you guys about how much Mike Sarge Riley sucks in the radio.
Oh, God.
It's one.
All right, good. We got it out.
Doesn't take much to get by the intern. Just spell your name backwards. Get right by him.
Oh, it's John backwards. Yes. Good job, kid.
Scott is in Maine. What's up, Scott?
Oh, boy.
I mean, just all.
Let's go on a little spy.
That was fairly clever going backwards.
It was.
Sarge. It's all good, baby. Sarge at Sarge 95. Sarge. Sarge.
Noge.
No, guys, it's Nosh. Nosh, thanks for calling.
There was like a benefit for someone around the station on Friday, and you said Sarge was there, John?
Oh, yeah. He was there.
And he was going ballistic?
He was in rare Sarge form. I have Nick as a witness. We were both there. He was in rare Sarge form at this charity event on Friday.
Now, was it just all salutes and everything
else? No. Remember when he came in to one of our post-show meetings and decided he wanted to blow up the room?
Oh, yeah.
It was a larger version of that. Oh, only this time, instead of tagging Rich like he did that day, he went after me.
All right, so he was Don Rickles, Sarge?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Rickles.
Right, it's Andrew Dice Sarge.
Yep, of course.
That's what it was.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right, so.
It's all good, baby, though. Don't worry.
This doesn't even have anything to do with Sarge anymore.
No.
Uh-huh.
Right, so let's get to another one. Now, this happened yesterday, and God bless the producer of the show who just said, here you go, because I know you're going to want it. Let's let it roll.
Maddie in the car. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hey, Felger, eventually you're going to have to get out of the middle of the road. A radio talk show host that won't pick a team for a win on Sunday is almost as bad as letting some guy named Sarge on the radio.
Ha! Very good. You killed two birds with one stone there, Maddie.
All right.
Very good. So, couldn't hang up fast enough.
So, it's all good, baby.
I could say Super Sarge here with Flash Gordon kind of thing.
So, Sarge is wings. Andy Wong.
So now we go to John from Vegas. That last guy was not. I do like it when other people are doing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's not Notch, guys.
Yeah, and backwards.
It's great.
And from what I heard, is that he attempted this 2 days ago when we first put out the call, and was on hold. And the producer of the show liked the story so much they just weren't able to get to it. They got his phone number, and they called him back yesterday.
Wow.
On the Mount Rushmore of people that we wanted to hit, take it away, the Sean Hannity Show.
John is in Vegas, K-Don Radio. What's up, John? How are you?
Hi, Sean, or Mr. Hannity.
Yes, sir.
Very excited to talk to you. I know there's a lot of important stuff going on in the country, so I'm going to try to be quick. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
But I was not as big of a fan as my great-grandfather was.
Wow.
He passed away last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's God. Painful.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd get emotional. But, okay, so he was a World War II vet, and he listened to your show pretty much every single day.
Wow. Wow.
His name, he was Sergeant Mike Riley of the United States Army.
Yes, sir.
Everyone just knew him as Sarge. That's what I called him. He loved the show. He was always afraid to call in. He was worried he'd be terrible on the radio.
I wish he did.
He probably would have stumbled and been awkward. He was not cut out for radio. But anyways, I'm
let me let
up.
Me tell you though. Let me tell you about these guys.
I mean, is that it?
Bravo.
I don't know. That's all I got.
You hit it. You hit it, baby.
Yep.
His name is Mike Sarge. Everyone just called him Sarge.
He wouldn't want to come on the radio because he would suck on the radio. He would be awkward. Play it again. Play it again. I got to hear it one more time.
Yeah. The nuance is what makes
it.
John is in Vegas, K-Don Radio. What's up, John? How are you?
Hi, Sean, or Mr. Hannity.
Yes,
sir. Very excited to talk to you. I know there's a lot of important stuff going on in the country, so I'm going to try to be quick. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
But I was not as big of a fan as my great-grandfather was.
Wow.
He passed away last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's painful.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't think I'd get emotional. But, okay, so he was a World War II vet, and he listened to your show pretty much every single day.
Wow.
His name, he was Sergeant Mike Riley of the United States Army.
Yes, sir.
Everyone just knew him as Sarge. That's what I called him. He loved the show. Afraid to call in. He was worried he'd be terrible on the radio.
I wish he did.
He was probably He probably would have stumbled and been awkward. He was not cut out for radio. But anyways, let me tell you
about these guys.
I mean, that is all right. It's like, how are you going to top that?
I have a question.
Just build him a statue.
You said the producer knew about this.
So Hannity's producer knew about this. They called John back specifically to punk his own guy. Yes. So apparently, what happened was. He didn't know he was going to punk him. He called in and had this story.
Okay.
John from Vegas was on hold for a ridiculous amount of time, and they didn't get to it. And the producer said, listen, we want your story.
Oh, all right.
Let me get your phone number.
Okay, I got you.
We'll call you tomorrow. And then they call him, and John Vegas like, here we go.
Yeah.
So they called him because they wanted a story about a, like, really, really, really old guy who liked Sean Hannity.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Tell me how much you love me.
Yeah, it was. They actually. The phone call.
Jesus.
By the way, think of how old an adult male's great-grandfather would be. All right? So say you're 25.
100.
Dude, a great-grandfather?
Great-grandfather could be 100.
130?
That's low end. The low end. 100. We're going three generations ahead.
So we start.
Yeah,
it's an adult
guy. You figure
okay.
Maybe
this is it. Go to line one. This is the one I was talking about.
All right.
This is great.
Ricky, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I heard a sad call yesterday on another FM station. Can I say the station?
No, that's cool. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. What station?
99.1. They have the segment called the Way Back Lunch where they play songs from like the 70s. And he called up with the request, the song Lonesome Loser, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band or somebody, whoever plays
yeah.
that song.
Yeah.
And it happened somewhere around 12:30. And he goes, I want to request Lonesome Loser and dedicate it to my friend, Mike Sarge Riley. I don't know if you can find it. It happened somewhere around 12:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, man. Okay. Did you say we have audio of this?
All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Well, could you give it to Mike? So he can. I can't do anything with it right here. So, all right.
All right. So we have.
That's
we have
that's,
audio.
Okay. So who else is. Now, listen.
All right. Limbaugh.
Limbaugh's on the
Rome.
Mountain.
Rome.
Rome would be great. You got to do Limbaugh. You got to do Rome.
And also on a station that's not ours, we're still looking for the Sarge cycle.
If you can do the Sarge cycle and you can get three calls in a row that are all about Sarge, then we're good. Not ours. Listen, you could call off the dogs on Zola. Listen, it still makes me laugh. But I am just as a courtesy to them. You could call off the dogs on those guys. Felger and Maz, they've dealt with it. So have. Although the way that they did Bertrand, that was the nose thing was brilliant.
Yeah,
dude, that was brilliant.
Plus, it's pissing off Bertrand more than it should.
Zolek's enjoying it, by the way.
Yes, of course, Zolek's enjoying it.
Dr. Laura still have a talk show.
See, she to me,
okay, but to hear her reaction would be pretty funny. If you if you get a long distance dedication for like Delilah,
okay. I mean, anything.
John Tesh.
You can go in market, and if you can do that, I mean, do it anywhere.
Yeah, do it anywhere. And you don't have to be John in Vegas. I kind of like it when it's not him. I mean,
John in
Vegas.
You're
never going to be able to touch
king.
Him. He's the king, and he'll never touch him.
I mean, John from Vegas has put in the legwork.
Stephen A. Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, Will Cain, as irrelevant as he is kind of a prick. And I don't know. I think that you could juggle around with his head a little bit.
About that morning show on Fox with the bald guy that just says stuff to get attention. And the perpetually surprised Chris Carter.
Oh, I don't know if they take phone calls. That's on TV.
Stephen A. How are you going to top Hannity? That was
Stephen
brilliant.
A on the radio anymore?
Yeah. He does something on the radio, but it's like for like an hour or something like that. Okay. So,
all right. Well, there
God
is...
bless you. God bless you, John. That was fantastic.
God bless each and every one of you. All right, Mike Gorman's going to join us in just a moment.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nine at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman is the voice of your Boston Celtics on NBC Sports Boston. He is a friend of ours. He's kind enough to join us unless there's somewhere where he would have to get up too early.
I have to be honest. Monday night? No, Sunday night. Who are they playing Sunday night?
Portland.
Okay, Portland. I have to thank Mike Gorman and Brian Scalabrine for, after that, you know, the gut punch of a game, obviously, that we were watching, and then what had happened with the Patriots earlier that day. The best sports moment of Sunday was watching Gorman and Scal do play-by-play of an off-centered basketball net where they had to go and stop the game for about 15 minutes and take out one of those little levels to make sure that everything was the right. You had to fill 10 minutes while they just messed around and did that. And I have to be honest, that was entertaining as hell.
Oh, that's good to hear. It was good ladder talk. Felt like I was on Home Improvement.
Yeah. It was like, you're like, oh, okay, here comes a guy with the ladder. Oh, he's going to bring the ladder. He's going to leave it there. That must be one of the union guys. You end up just leaving it there, and then you have to get somebody else to come out and actually put the level on
if
there.
If you're going
to
do Home Improvement, you need a fastidious tool expert and then a silly goose who's not afraid to electrocute.
They were arguing over which member of Home Improvement would have been the one that would have actually fixed the ladder, whether it was the guy.
Borland.
Al. Al Borland.
Well, no, yeah. What would happen is that Tim would have climbed the ladder and it would have fallen down.
Or he would have fallen off.
He would fall down and then he would fall backwards.
Right.
And then Al would just shake at him and you know, and then he would crack a one-liner and Al would say, like, whatever you say, Tim.
Have something in his tool belt and climb right up. Yep, that's a good point.
I mean, that's a silly question. Yeah, I mean, why did you even discuss it? It's Al Borland.
Okay.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you. What do you watch on the plane? I mean, let's get the Home Improvements out and really, you know, I've seen every Home Improvement some many times.
I can't say that I have. I couldn't even think of the name of the show, to be honest with you, on Sunday night.
Okay, well, maybe read a book. I watched. In fact, I've watched Home Improvement this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
While you were waiting for your bike. Yeah.
There was the one where his wife had to get a. What was it there? What do you call it when they take out your insides?
When they take out your insides?
Like mummification?
No. When a hysterectomy.
Okay.
And she was having trouble dealing with that. It was very, it was comedic, but also touching.
Nice. I thought we were going to talk about the road trip or something like that.
No. Oh, they go on a road trip. It's to a wedding at a lake. And Tim wants to get in as much as possible, and then he shows up to the wedding, and he's all, like, wet.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Mike, your thoughts?
None.
Not a single one. Well, okay.
Not a single one on Home Improvement.
All right, well.
You want to talk about Small Wonder?
Segue to the game?
Can you think of a clever segue from Home Improvement to the road woes of the Celtics?
All right, I'll tell you what the woes are. It's like, this is like Jack Tripper with Janet and Chrissy not being able to get one in, you know?
Yeah.
You went Three's Company.
I'm confused. Okay.
Yeah, it's like the all road right. trip was as frustrating as Jack Tripper.
Oh, okay.
All right, what the hell's wrong with the Celtics right now? Mike Gorman.
There it is.
There you go. Now we got on the track. I think there's a couple of things from where I sit. One is they need more energy, especially to begin games. They get themselves into these holes in the second quarter, by the second quarter of games, where they're down double digits and they're trying to play back against teams that they found out on this road trip are pretty good. That's number one. And number two, I think these guys got a little ahead of themselves in terms of how good they are and what they need to do to be really good. And so this integration process of Kyrie and Gordon back into the starting lineup is going to take a little longer than I think people thought. If you go back to one of the first things you and I talked about before the season, I was of the belief that this was going to take a long time, whereas everybody else was kind of playing on the parade route, which I thought was a little premature. And I think this road trip is a good example of how there are some teams out there that are pretty darn good. And on a given night, they're going to give this team a lot of trouble. And this team needs to come with their A game right from the very tip, not their A game in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, it was the best game of the road trip to broadcast was in Phoenix. And it was a terrific comeback and it was a great win. But we're talking about Phoenix here.
Yeah.
Maybe the second or third worst team in basketball. So, I think these guys need to look in the mirror a little bit, and I think they need to again, the energy level needs to be raised with this team without question.
In order to do that at the beginning of games, Mike, which has been the problem for this team, as you just mentioned, night after night, we were discussing this earlier, might there be a change in the starting lineup for tonight and at least temporarily moving forward?
What are you thinking about there? You thinking about putting Baines in?
Yeah, we were thinking about putting Gordon on the bench, which he has volunteered to do over the last couple of weeks. And then it could be Baines, it could be Morris, it could be Smart. I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Scal's of the belief, and I agree with him, that they're a much better defensive team when Baines is on the floor. So to start the game with a little more defensive emphasis may get their motors running a little bit and raise the energy level. So I agree with that. I think we need to be patient with Gordon. You know, in watching the Utah game, our guys put together a highlight package of his days in Utah. And I think that if you look at this 2.5 minute gathering of all his better plays, the thing that strikes you, other than the fact that he has like about 4 or 5 different looks over the course of 3 years, is that the athleticism is just not present right now. And it's changed his game. He's become a guy who plays the game on the floor as opposed to a guy who plays the game above the rim. So how long it's going to take for him to get back that athleticism? He's mentioned last week that for the first time he kind of saw glimpses of who he was. I don't think people understood enough how long the drought was for him to be out with that injury, how probably for the longest time in his whole life he went without playing basketball. And to come back at an NBA level and come back athletically the way he was before the injury, I think it's just going to take much more time. I think it's going to be January, February before we really see the Gordon Hayward that people really want to see and hopefully will see. But in the meantime, yeah, you're right. They may have to make some adjustments to the starting lineup. He has expressed a willingness to come off the bench if that's what the team needs. And the coach may have to take him up on that.
Now, Kyrie mentioned the other day that he wishes that he had a like a 14-year vet on the team to kind of get it into their head that you can't walk through these first several months. And do you think he was talking about somebody specific? And B, do you think that that's a good idea? And is there anyone that you can think of that might fit that role?
Yeah, I don't. I know that there's been a couple of lists that come out online following up on that theory. I don't know who is out there. I understand what Kyrie is saying. Kyrie is very much the leader of this basketball team on the court. It's just a question of whether off the court they might need another veteran presence, someone even beyond Al Horford. That made sense to me, what Kyrie said. I just don't know who is out there that I know about. I tell you, a guy who I would like to see on this team and have always wanted to see on this team is Jamal Crawford. But I don't know whether he's available. But Jamal Crawford would be an excellent fit for a spot on this team and would fill that role that Kyrie's talking about, having a guy who's been around the league a bunch of years and is respected by players and still has some game left. But I don't know what the Celtics would have to do to get Jamal Crawford away from where he is right now. I think he's in Utah.
Would you mind sacrificing your on-the-road color guy, possibly?
Yeah, I didn't know anything about my on-the-road color guy.
Put Scal back in there, maybe?
Well, Scal would provide energy.
And high fives and towel snaps and whatever you need.
He's kept himself in shape.
See, but that, you know, we need guys like that. You know, you watch the bench, and the bench is very alive during games, but the bench sometimes is more alive on the floor. I think this, they're not a high-energy bunch. If you look at the Celtics starting five, they're really solid, good players, but there aren't too many guys on there that would say, like, he's got a great motor. You know, Marcus Smart has a great motor, and they need more of that. They needed to raise their energy level to be successful, and I think they found that out on this road trip. I think this is an interesting week for the Celtics because they have a back to back. They have a game tonight against Chicago that they just should win. Chicago's not good, but Friday Toronto is here and Saturday Utah is here. It's a rare back to back at home, and those are two teams that have already beaten the Celtics this year. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they react to those two teams in their own building. Both of those teams are going to come in here thinking they can win. And Toronto's coming off a little bit of a dip. And so they'll be wired to play well. So that's a big game in terms of telling whether or not the Celtics can make some adjustments and whether or not those adjustments work.
All right, finally.
They have to make some adjustments. I mean, this road trip was an eye-opener that way. I mean, everybody thought, you know, the optimistic people thought, oh, they'll go 4-1 and 3-2 will be acceptable. Nobody saw 1-4 coming down the pike.
Well, they have to throttle the Bulls tonight. They can't just beat them. They have to make a statement tonight. I mean, this is if they have any pride and if there's any kind of sense that this team is getting it through their head, that you have to have some urgency. They have to absolutely throttle this team tonight. But real quick, before we let you go, what do you think about what's going on with the infighting with Golden State between Kevin Durant and Draymond Green?
You know, there's a shelf life, I think, to everybody in the NBA that guys can only work together for so long. I think that relationship may have worn itself out. And I think you're going to see Durant, I believe if I have this right, that he has an option as to where he might go next year. And I think he might leave Golden State. I think he could end up a Knick, frankly.
So you think it's going to be a Knicks situation? Well, I mean, the front runners are the Knicks, the Lakers, obviously, to join LeBron James, we've heard, but I don't see that happening.
Only about the Wizards, his hometown team, right?
There's the Wizards, but don't you think that if he went
too much of a makeover in Chicago, I mean, in Washington.
Yeah, it's a good point.
They're stuck with John Wall.
Yeah, they're a mess. And then you look at, what if he went to Oklahoma City and went back like LeBron did?
Westbrook will be against that. I think the Knicks, Westbrook is, they don't get along. I think the Knicks are where he probably will land. I think the Knicks have a grand plan, and he's at the middle of it all. And if they can get him and put him together with the big kid who comes back healthy and pick up one more player, they can kind of go from being an also ran to a contender right away.
All right, so you got, you're so above.
Hey, you're back.
I mean, you're so, you mean, you just shut down as soon as, I mean, you're the one who brought up home improvement, and then I started talking about it.
I know, I did.
And then you shut me down. Then why did you shut me down?
I wish I never did, you know? I wish I had brought that up.
Sometimes when you're friends with someone, you play along.
Yeah, I know. Can we do this again? Can we just rewind the tape here and do this again?
Yeah, so anyway, you were talking about
live.
Who would...
Are we live?
Are we live?
It's time to start the interview. Mike Gorman, ladies and gentlemen, voice of your Boston Celtics. All right, well, Mike Gorman, it is always a pleasure, sir, and everyone enjoy the game tonight as the team returns home. Does Scal work out every day on the road?
Twice.
Yeah, I've heard that. Two times a day.
He lifts twice a day?
No, he does cardio one, and then he lifts the other. He's a fanatical workout on the road. And he wears this black hoodie, and he just kind of like stomps around the workout room and has headphones on over the top of it. And, yeah, he works out really hard on the road.
Is he a groaner? Does he groan when he's lifting weights?
Yeah, they all do, though.
Yeah, Scal doesn't wear shoes.
The weights that I'm lifting, I don't need, there's no groan involved. But the weights that Scal is lifting, yeah, I can see why they groan.
Yeah, he's like...
Scal's not giving up the physical ghost here, you know what I mean? I don't doubt in Scal's mind he thinks he can play. He might be right.
Yeah, he's a big show-off. Like, I've heard of people that belong to the same gym as him, and he's, like, walking around with no shoes on, like, grunting. He has a puke bucket next to the squat rack. It's the whole thing.
Has a puke bucket next to the squat rack?
Oh, obviously you've never played with the big boys. Yeah, if you're powerlifting, baby, you could blow chunks.
And that's why you can do the show with your shirt off. You do that.
So. That's right. That's why I can finally weigh myself and go, Jesus, I'm going to die young. All right.
Now we don't do television anymore, though. So like, it's kind of lost in the fact that you don't have a shirt on.
Well, go and check out a video of me trying to ride a bike around the studio, and you'll get a nice look at some jiggling. You're going to look at a guy who's 43, maybe a heart attack coming in 2 years. So trying to change the lifestyle, baby.
I will do that over coffee right now. I'll go search that out.
All right, great. Well, you know, get some Kleenex. All right, thank you, Mike Gorman.
All right, great to talk to you as always. See you next week.
All right, see you, man.
Same time zone, I'll be here.
All right, there you go. All right, Mike Gorman, ladies and gentlemen. Me and him on the same page.
It's a what?
Kleenex.
Oh, I see, okay.
You know, you might cry.
I understand. I got it, yeah. It's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah. Well, it's not what I intended. But
I'm aware.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's the headlines.
Rain in recent weeks. You had a number of concerts and soccer games, events that took place at Estadio Azteca. And what happened was the teams had their own people go in to examine the stadium a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't overly concerned about the playing condition. But when they went back this week and saw the condition of the playing surface, they were tremendously alarmed to the point where teams did not want to have to play a game on that surface, and players were truly thinking of not playing if the NFL went ahead and carried out this game on Monday night. Now, again, I think this really picked up a lot of steam over the last 24 hours. The NFL was determined to try to get this game in, but the longer it went on and the more players and organizations' eyes were open to what was going on in that field, the more the NFL recognized that it couldn't play this game there on Monday night, and so it moved it back to Los Angeles for this upcoming month.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, so that game is being moved back to L.A. Dan thinks that it's BS that they wanted to have the biggest game of the year in Los Angeles, and maybe that's the case.
I agree. I just love the fact.
Just real quick, sometimes the Patriots will change out sod on the entire field during a bye week. There's no reason why they wouldn't
have
known.
They have in the past.
They have in the past. There's no reason they wouldn't have known that the conditions were not going to be that good and get something. They just don't want this game in Mexico City.
Yeah. Well, the Jets.
The hype on this game is huge, too.
The Jets played in Miami, and the field was just garbage.
Well, there was a game the night before, yes, and it rained, and that's, you know, that's unfortunate.
But in fairness, what you're saying, I mean, I know the Patriots have done this before, but maybe there's an issue between having in a foreign country, in another country, them saying, hey, change the sod on this field, make it playable, and them going, well, we're going to have a hard time doing that. Where if it's the NFL,
why
know
would
how much money they have.
City lose out on cash? That doesn't make any sense.
And by the way, that's like a place that Shakira just played. That's a place
and
where
and that's
they,
one of the reasons the field's so
no, no, I
up.
Know. But what I'm saying is it's not like this is a third world situation. I mean, they have massive events.
They
there all
should
the time.
Be able to take care of it. Whether the yes. NFL trucks in sod or the NFL's like, okay, you won't let us truck on our own sod. Go get some. Here's some money so we can hold the damn event.
They have
stadium.
Plenty of money.
There's a way to do this. And I agree. The NFL didn't want it there. The NFL ultimately wanted it in L.A.
Have you seen what the field looks like? It's funny. There's a picture that came out yesterday.
Half the field is completely torn up.
It already has like the Rams and the Chiefs logos and stuff everywhere, but the field is an atrocity. Like, it's like if you were to go and just a kid's soccer game and you saw the field like this, you're like, someone's going to rip up their leg.
Yeah,
and
for my kids' travel soccer team, they half the field was torn up. Not as bad as Mexico City is torn up. Like, okay, we got to go across town and hold practice over there.
Yeah, and I love, and Dan, you make a good point. I mean, it's like the one thing I love about all this is that when the Patriots went and when other teams have gone, it's not the players have to be guarded by guys who have machine guns at the hotel, which we've heard about. It's not the water condition is so bad that there's a warning that you might get sick, and players refuse to take showers after the game before they got in the team plane. It's not that we heard stories about the Patriots saying, let's get the F out of here, like immediately after the game was done. No, it takes this, which we already knew. Playing in Mexico was a bad idea, and it was bad for the players, and now all of a sudden you're exactly right. They realize that this is going to be one of the marquee games of the entire season, and so I believe the NFL just said, we got to have this at one of our places. We're not doing this in Mexico.
And by the way, I was reading something Ben Volen wrote, and because, you know, if you had bought tickets to go to Mexico City, obviously it sucks for you because you can't probably refund them.
Well, your plane tickets, you can't. You know,
yeah, you can't refund it. The NFL is giving away refunds, but that's that's hardly the most expensive of your purchases. And he said a lot of Patriots fans went down. It was a travel destination. To that would say, what?
Yeah, why?
I mean, we've talked to Mike Gorman. We've talked to people that have gone down there where they've had armed security with them and advised not to leave the hotel. Like, why would that be a destination of all the places that you could go? Why would your destination be? I got to believe that's not true. But Mexico City, when the Patriots played there, there was a huge New England
fan base there from New England?
No, because it looked like there was a massive Raiders fan base, because I believe that a lot of people in Mexico are Raiders fans.
Sure.
Like, that was something that they said on the broadcast, is that for some reason they're the adopted fans of that team.
Mark
the
Davis
Oakland
has done a great job of marketing his team in Mexico.
Apparently
fans
he has.
Fans in China.
Right, right. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that doesn't sound right. You're absolutely correct, Fred, is that a bunch of New England people would fly down to go to that game, just the conditions. And remember how the NFL really tried to push it by doing that? Julian Edelman and Amendola cause chaos in Mexico. Look at how crazy they are.
Meanwhile, there's like 45 guys like with armed
trapped with in their hotel room.
Semi-automatic weapon.
Just stop trying to make this happen. Don't make it happen until maybe the conditions, so you can look at and take a city like that seriously.
Honestly,
in order to hold an event like this.
Once you're like, okay, it's a little crazy there. Next time they'll fix things. Twice this happens, there's no reason to go back.
Don't stand there and act shocked.
No,
oh my goodness, I can't believe that the conditions aren't ideal for a football game. No, you have had every warning possible that Mexico is not Mexico Stadium, wherever this is,
Estadio Azteca
is not a good place for an NFL game. We've seen it in the past. Just nothing but complaints. But now, because probably there's more money to be made, you said, oh well, this is the final straw. You've seen this coming, NFL.
Yep. And I told you, a friend of mine's business associate was, and this is not indicative of probably 99.9% of people's experiences there, was kidnapped with his fellow businessmen.
Listen, I don't know the statistics. All I know is what I've heard players say.
They're
and
not,
what teams have said about the conditions and
well,
people
obviously
travel
the
with the
statistics
teams.
Can't be good.
Understood. But what I'm saying is even take all of that out of it, just from the quality of the product and what the players and the teams have had to deal with and what the broadcasters who are part of it had to deal with, it's not a good idea.
See, the danger now is, and I brought this up, a few weeks ago, we were talking about this. There was a time where the NFL wanted to play, I think it was an exhibition game in China. So instead of playing in a time zone that's kind of familiar to everybody, now Roger Goodell will sit back with the think tank around him and say, okay, we can't play in Mexico City. We're already playing in London. Where can we go next? I bet you the NFL tries to push this China thing again.
All right. Well, then
everybody in the league, every player in the league will be against.
Well, here's what you'd have to do is like when the Red Sox started in Japan or China, wherever they played.
Japan, yeah.
Is that you would have to have them play 2 weeks before everyone else. And so they would play and then you'd have to give them 2 weeks off. I mean, it would screw up everything.
I think the most shocking thing about all this is, how the hell did Monday Night Football get this game?
I think it was just luck more than anything else.
I mean, you want to talk about...
At this part of the season, did you really think the Rams and the Chiefs would be the two best players in the league?
Not the Chiefs. The Rams, yes. Obviously, the Rams are, you know, they were great last year. But the Chiefs, you're right. But, I mean, talk about lucking into, because it's been nothing but a bunch of floating turds on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, Monday Night Football is not the marquee game. They specifically schedule Sunday night to be the marquee game. So the fact that Monday Night lucked into this is quite amazing.
All my friends, rowdy friends, are coming over, by the way.
They should.
They're going to come over. We're going to have a little guacamole. Going to have all my rowdy friends.
Isn't guacamole, isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's when it was boss time.
When everyone who was a Springsteen fan had to look in the mirror.
Put down the guacamole!
Yeah.
It's boss. And he like leans into him. It's boss time.
Get ready for some polite clapping in unison.
Here we go.
Well, it's not his head. Absolutely, brother.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That cowbell. Guy with the cowbell.
I mean, it was his wife?
That was his wife. Girl with the cowbell.
Patty Scalfa.
Where's the chairman of the board of directors?
Oh, he's dead, isn't he?
No, but his kid's the
chairman of the board.
Wasn't that the name of Clarence Clemens' nickname?
Oh, yes.
The
king of Sting, the chairman, the guy. Yes. We're going to play for 8 hours. Well, no one needs to hear music live for 8 hours.
The best is...
Thanks a lot to put on a Springsteen
show. Like Jimmy Barron would cry at the shows.
Well, all right. I don't go that far.
Oh, a lot of dudes cry at the shows.
Do they really?
Yeah, I've not seen that.
No, Springsteen is known for having grown men
I've
cry.
Only been to about six or seven of them, but I haven't seen anyone cry.
Men crying is like this huge thing right now.
Oh,
like, I was listening to this Marc Maron thing, who I really am starting not to be able to stand.
And he read an article that made him cry. And you're just like, what's going on? Everyone's crying all over the place. Get a hold of yourself. All right. All right. Billy Jaffe from Nesson is going to join us in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.